So ask John Hodgman a question. You can ask him about science, about history, economics. He'll give you an answer, and it will sound plausible at first, but you give it a minute, and Hodgman's facts get a little improbable. You know John Hodgman from the Mac ads. He's the PC guy who always comes in second to the Mac. Well, now here he's going to be on The Daily Show, and he's going to answer a very simple question. Why is economics called the dismal science?
They don't call economics the dismal science because it's fair.
Well, I suppose not.
No, no, probably. They call it that after Sir Eustace Dismal. The 18th century English economist who proposed making smokestacks out of children.
I never knew
that.
No,
yeah, it was a very interesting proposal, but ultimately flawed. I mean, if you make the smokestacks out of children, who will you force to clean them? It's referred to as Dismal's paradox.
Hodgman is a Yale-educated former literary agent, and you have heard him on This American Life. And here, he's talking to All Things Considered's Robert Siegel. So Siegel asks him again a very simple question. Couldn't be easier. What's the title of your book?
Commonly, it is referred to in the vernacular as the areas of my expertise. But the full title of the book is as follows: An Almanac of Complete World Knowledge, compiled with instructive annotation and arranged in useful order by me, John Hodgman, a professional writer in the areas of my expertise, which areas include matters historical, matters literary, matters cryptozoological, hobo matters, food, drink, and cheese, which is a kind of food, squirrels and lobsters and eels, haircuts, utopia, what will happen in the future, and most other subjects. End title.
End of title. There are subtitles that we could continue with.
Yeah. Indeed. Well, if you'd like, I could read the whole book for you. Let's start at the beginning.
We are ready for a few words on global warming. Actually, not a few words, maybe more than a few. Here's Bruce Kluger and David Slavin.
We have the evidence. We have the technology. And now we have the lung capacity. Mother Earth is ready. We can't wait any longer to do something about climate change. The time has come to talk about it. At the United Nations Climate Change Conference in Copenhagen, thousands of the world's leading scientists and government officials have gathered to take a stand on global warming, and we are determined to discuss it even further. That's why, this year, we've agreed to form three new special subcommittees to look deeper into this crisis and really talk it into the ground. Not just today or tomorrow. We're prepared to talk about global warming until hell freezes over, which, given the rise in the Earth's temperature, may never happen. But that won't stop us from meeting, and meeting again.
Now, of course, on to Carnegie Hall, where Peter Sagal and the cast of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me are on stage with an actual news anchor, NBC's Brian Williams.
A number of years ago, as is well known, legendary NBC News anchor Tom Brokaw handpicked from all the people who worked at that august organization the man he wanted to be his successor. Today, I am proud to say that I'm doing the same thing. And it's the same guy. Brian Williams is the anchor and managing editor of NBC Nightly News. He won Emmys, Murrow Awards, and a Peabody Award. We are very excited to have him here with us at Carnegie Hall. Brian Williams, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell.
Thank you.
So excited to have you here. So we're glad you're here. We wanted to talk to you about some issues that came up about the news media in the last week or so. And one of them, of course, is the Balloon Boy story. Everybody immediately cut away from everything else they were doing, and they covered the Balloon Boy live, breathlessly, for hours. What was your feeling about how the media reacted to the Balloon Boy story?
I've never been so happy to say the following. I was on vacation with my wife.
There you are. You have a music blog, which is called
Brytunes.
Brytunes.
Okay.
Wow, that's really
okay,
cute.
Let's have it.
By the way, I knew you called it that. I just wanted to hear you say it.
Yeah. The great thing about radio is they can't tell where you're gesturing. Yeah. Anyway. I didn't didn't name the thing. I didn't name it. The company named it. I went along willingly.
What company? What company named it?
Oh, you know, I work for the military industrial company.
The blog masters.
But I love music, and I have, you know, I got an iPod like everybody else, and mine has about 7,000 songs on it.
But don't you mean Bripod?
Your Bripod.
Turn on my Bripod to continue. And can we talk about the disjointed 4-second pieces of jazz music in NPR commercial breaks?
Are you upset with that?
I just love it. Oh. I'm Noah Adams. You know, just, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? Really?
So then when Noah Adams begins to speak, you're annoyed because it cut the song off?
I mean, really? What is that? It's like a little clarinet. Let's get going, you know?
Do you know that those 4 or 5-note pieces are commissioned by NPR? Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Those
Excuse
songs
me.
Are actually written for interstitial music.
Okay.
Put that on the old Bripod.
Okay.
Okay, so here's something we suggest you do not try at home. There are some things you're just not really meant to know. But reporter Gwen Macsai, she couldn't resist.
It's been a long time since I went into my parents' bedroom in the middle of the night, especially since they live 800 miles away. But for as long as I can remember, there's been something remarkable that goes on in that room, something that I've always wanted to capture on tape. So one night, when I was home for the holidays, I tiptoed into their room. I couldn't see a thing, but it didn't matter. I could hear what I'd come for. My father's snoring is only one of the many aspects of my parents' long and most of the time happy marriage that I will probably never understand. How he can be so loud and constant, and she's such a light sleeper, and somehow they remain in the same bed for decades. Up until now, I've passed things like this off as one of the great mysteries of survival inside a lifelong relationship. But after 31 years of listening and wondering, I decided that it was high time to get to the bottom of things.
Has Dad always snored?
Only when he sleeps.
How long have you been married now?
41 years.
And he snored like this for how long?
41 years.
Did you notice this on your honeymoon, or what?
Yes. By then it was too late. There were times when I would confront him, and he either would deny that he snored or would say, "What can I do?"
Mr. Maxey's office, this is Marie. May I help?
Hi, Marie. It's Gwen. Is Dad there?
Sure, hold on.
Thanks.
Hello, Gwenny.
Hi, Dad. How are you?
Hi, sweetheart.
How you doing?
Okay.
I want to play something for you over the phone since I'm at work, okay?
Yeah.
Listen up.
I'm listening. About, is it 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
Oh, no, much less than that.
I have time. I just wanted to know how long I should be prepared to.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah. Who is that?
Who is it?
Yeah.
What do you mean, who is it?
You taped me?
Yeah, that's you.
No kidding. This is what Mom puts up with? No. That's funny. Poor woman.
I've tried poking him, in which case he wakes up totally indignant. I've tried putting a pillow over my head. I've tried earplugs.
Now, I understand that there is one way to stop a person from snoring, but Mom did not verify that it works. You go very close to the ear and do this. And it's supposed to stop them.
Have you ever gone to any other extremes to try and correct his loud noises that he makes?
I've considered smothering him. However, over a period of a number of years, one develops the ability to say, oh, the hell with it.
For a little while there in the late 1970s, Carol Burnett dominated commercial television, primetime television. She was it, because she'd try pretty much anything, as she told NPR's Renee Montagne.
I loved putting on wigs. I loved blacking out my teeth.
Making funny faces. Do you just getting a laugh makes it worthwhile?
Yes.
But there are risks. For example, in her memoir, she tells the story of doing a Tarzan yell. Now, if you know her work, you're going to know the yell. It's just where she yelled that made all the difference.
Shall I back up?
What's the worst?
Well, let me see what happens. Did I blow anybody's head off?
I don't think so.
That wasn't a particularly good one, but it was okay.
There's a story in the book where you went into Bergdorf Goodman.
Yes.
Fancy department store
yes.
one. Well, you were quite famous. You were a household name by that time.
Right. We were in New York, and I was headed for rehearsal. We were doing a special, and I needed some stockings. And I went up to the lingerie department, and there was this lovely lady there. And she's, oh, hello, Miss Burnett. And all, very lovely. And I said, oh, may I write you a check? And she said, I'm sorry, but I'll need some identification. And I said, well, you know who I am. She said, I know, but it's the rules. We have to put down the driver's license and, you know, all of that. So she said, wait a minute. Let me check with the floor manager. And finally, she said, Miss Melton will approve your check if you will do the Tarzan yell in the middle of the lingerie floor. So I said, well, okay. Nobody else was around, so I did it. Right behind the sales lady, there was an exit door that burst open, and in came a security guard with a gun pulled. I mean, we could have had our heads blown off. So I learned a lot that morning.
Now, this next story comes to you from the Domestic Security Warning Center. This is a small, dedicated group of social scientists who have made lists of things that could go wrong in your life, and it's not a short list.
While licking an envelope, you will receive a paper cut in the exact place where your upper lip meets your lower lip. It will take days to heal. If this happens to you, use common sense. You will step in dog poop while rushing to an important occasion. Americans traveling abroad should exercise particular caution in Paris, where the risks are exceedingly high. Be vigilant. An email to your sister about what a dope your brother is will be accidentally sent to your family mail group. Get used to the idea of it. You will discover a single white hair growing out of one of your ears. This is unavoidable. Bifocals will make you feel old. This is also unavoidable. Your husband will finally sharpen all the knives in your kitchen, but not tell you. You will be injured. A small child will whap you in the face with a plastic bat at a birthday party. It will hurt a lot. This is inevitable. You will chip a tooth on a piece of free candy at a restaurant cashier stand, and your credit card will be rejected. This is the price of freedom. Your finger will be pinched. When and by what, we cannot say at this time. In addition, you will leave your lights on in the parking lot. You will oversleep. You will stain your carpet. A rock will crack your windshield sooner than you expect. You will miss your connection, and your son will break your electric screwdriver. This list of official warnings, while thoroughly researched by qualified domestic security experts, is by no means complete. Americans are encouraged to continue to look for dangers and share them with this agency. The Domestic Security Warning Center is here for your protection, but accepts no liability for failing to address specific dangers which may come to pass. Thank you, and remember, you have been warned.